Here they come, turn four, final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
A great restart for Denny Hamlin.
Here he comes into turn one. Chase Briscoe's going to give him a run for the money. Here's Briscoe to the outside, but he's going to be offline. No, Denny. Oh, Briscoe's in the grass. Now it's a battle for the lead with Hamlin and Allmendinger. Briscoe will come back onto the grass, and now he will be side by side with Denny Hamlin. Briscoe getting forced off course with a piece of debris that went flying off the race car when it happened.
Stop and go for the 14 car. He is not racing for the win. Oh, he's going to spin Denny. Denny has spun out. The 14 car spun Denny Hamlin out into turn 10.
So A.J. Allmendinger is going to be the leader right here. Ryan Blaney right behind him. Kyle Larson behind him. Kyle Larson running back down.
Briscoe missed the turn. A.J. Allmendinger, he's in front. Ryan Blaney running in the second spot. Another chapter written into the Indy history books. A.J. Allmendinger will cross the yard of bricks, the winner of the first ever road course race for the Cup Series.
Let's go!
And that's how it sounded on NBC, a wild ending to the Verizon 200 at the Indy Road Course. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical. Chase McCabe here with you each and every week. Hope you're having a good start to your Saturday so far. It was crazy, that is for sure, and it was not what I think everybody was hoping for, how it ended. You had the racetrack that dictated the outcome of the race, and that's an unfortunate thing. We have a lot to get into today, but a loaded show. Eric Jones is going to join us. He'll talk about Indy. Josh Berry had a big week. He's going to join us today, and then country music star Tim Duggar going to join as well. So a lot of racing and music here on today's show, but let's get into Indy and what we saw on the road course. NASCAR elected not to go back to the oval at the Indy Motor Speedway, the famed oval, home of the Indianapolis 500. They did the race on the road course like they did last year with the Xfinity Series. Now, the big thing that I loved from this weekend was that you had IndyCar running the road course as well. And so you had a doubleheader on Saturday with the NTT IndyCar Series running on the road course at Indianapolis, and then you had the Xfinity Series, and then on Sunday was the Cup Series. I love the fact that you're doing a doubleheader. I just feel like the Cup cars should be on the oval, and even after watching Sunday's race, and I'll be honest, like the racing wasn't bad, but when you're dealing with the racetrack and you're dealing with pieces of the track coming up, and these are curbs and things that, you know, aren't necessarily designed for stock cars, and I think they took a beating over the weekend. It just makes you wonder, did they make the right call by going to the road course and running on the road course? So we saw a ton of race cars get tore up at the end of the race. They needed to have a red flag to be able to clean it up. They pulled that whole entire piece of the curb up, and then they finished the race, and you just heard the calamity that ensued there at the end of the race. Chase Briscoe looked like he was going for his first win. He cuts the track, even though, I mean, it does appear he got forced into the grass, but the rule is you're supposed to get back in line, give the position back, and he didn't do that. He cut through, didn't come back on the track, and so he had to serve a penalty. And that ended his day and his race-winning bid. He had a really good car and then wrecked Denny Hamlin, and so those two were not happy, Denny wasn't happy with Chase Briscoe, and he had every right to be unhappy with Chase Briscoe. So they're, you know, hopefully going to work things out, but if I'm Denny, I'm going to be ticked off for a little bit. But after the race, A.J. Allmendinger gets the win, his second career cup win. It's the first win for Colic Racing. It was a huge, huge moment for that race team. But Scott Miller, who is one of the executives with NASCAR, discussed with the media the decision to go ahead and pull the curb up so they could finish the race.
Obviously, that thing had deteriorated with that last big wreck quite substantially, and there was no way that we could justify leaving it like it was without removing it. there was some debate. It obviously had to come out if we were going to continue. And there was some debate about the other taking the other piece out. But as we worked through putting the track together for Xfinity before last year's race, there was a big ask for the drivers to have something back there because that section was just way too fast. There was that grass, and going into turn seven, they'd have probably been running, what, maybe 15 or 20 miles an hour faster. So we weren't going to sign up for that. That other one had to stay, and that was the only way that we were going to get back to racing today.
You know, the unfortunate thing about this season and trying new things and going to new places is NASCAR has, you know, had to learn some things the hard way. Obviously, they've been going to New Hampshire, and they decided to try and race in the rain. They've learned that the hard way. I just look at it as I never want to see the racetrack dictate the outcome of the race, and that's what happened here. No offense to AJ Allmendinger, but as you'll hear in just a few minutes, in his post-race availability, I don't think he had a race-winning car. I don't know. At this point, I couldn't tell you, you know, who, if it was Hamlin, if it was Briscoe, you know, who it might have been. It's unfortunate that the racetrack dictated so much because it came up and tore up a lot of race cars. And so you can understand how upset all those drivers were. Miller also commented on the Chase Briscoe incident and the penalty that ensued, which basically took him out of contention.
It was announced over the race channel that he had a penalty and needed to serve it prior to him having the incident down there with the 11. What we'll have to do is go back and listen to the communication from the spotter and make sure that the spotter actually, you know, there wasn't much time lapse between the time that we called the penalty and him getting into it with the 11. So we will do some investigation and make sure the spotter conveyed the message well to the driver before that happened. That was unfortunate how that all worked out there.
You know, it's unfortunate for Chase Briscoe. I think he's a talented young driver and looked like he was in a good chance to get his first win, but they made the right call. It's what they needed to do. He didn't get back in line. It was a heat of the moment thing. He had momentum going through the grass. I get all of that. But the rule is the rule, and I think NASCAR made a judgment call, and it turned out to be the right call. And so he ended up losing out on winning that race. But AJ Allmendinger and Colleague Racing become the story. If you remember, I believe it was actually when they were here at the Nashville Super Speedway, the news came out, and the announcement was made that Colleague had bought two charters from Spire Motorsports for a really large amount of money. And they had already announced that they were going to move to the Cup Series full-time this year, or in 2022. And so they're going to do that. Justin Haley is going to be the full-time driver. And then they were going to have a second car for AJ Allmendinger to run some of these races. I think they'd like to make that a full-time car, but, you know, AJ be a part of things. And who knows, after this weekend, AJ might end up going full-time. You never know what the case may be, but definitely the super speedways and the road course. But AJ Allmendinger commented on his win.
Yeah, I mean, it was, that was chaotic. You know, we didn't really have a race winning car on outright speed. We were probably about 7th to 10th. I sped on pit road, so I just kind of carried on for how I felt yesterday. So put us in the back there, and we were just fighting hard. I thought we'd probably maybe get in the edge of the top 10 and have a solid day. For a makeshift, really pit crew that a crew that we don't work with all the time. They did a fantastic job, great pit stops. But yeah, once that chaos started happening, we started getting close to the front. I had a really good restart on the first one. I think we were restarting 17th with 8 to go, and was able to get to 7th through all that mess, and thought, all right, you know, now we're at least in shouting distance of it. Knew a couple of the cars had older tires, and that second restart got to 3rd, and it's like, okay, now we got a shot at this. And you know, the best part is when you got Matt Colleague and Chris Rice getting on the radio and just going, hey, we're not here for friends. We're not here for points. We're here to win this race. So win it or basically bring it back on the hook, you know, that kind of frees up a race car driver to go after it. And I just can't believe the way it played out. I had a great restart. I thought I might take the lead off turn two, and Denny kind of leaned on me, which he should. I would have done the same thing. And I saw Chase come back on the racetrack. Well, at that point, they were just telling me that he had a penalty. So I thought, all right, you know, maybe I can kind of make a run for the last lap and a half here at Denny. And they had contact, and all of a sudden the seas parted. And then from there, it was just run like hell, because I knew Kyle and Chase and Ryan were back there, and they were pretty good all day. So I put in about as good of a lap and a half as I could.
Dinger is awesome. He deserves it. And from what I can tell so far, I mean, I like, you know, Chris Rice and all those guys at Colleague Racing, because I think Matt Colleague has a really good team that he's put together, and obviously has the resources and the money if they're paying that type of money to get the charters to go full time. So I am interested. And later on in the press conference, there was kind of some joking around between Matt Colleague, Chris Rice, and AJ Allmendinger about next year and what that could mean for next year. And you know, it was AJ joked and said, "I'm retired, I'm done." Matt said he's done. AJ then says, before Matt answers, "I'll do whatever they want me to do. I've told them from day one, whatever they feel like I can do to raise the organization and help push it, I'll do that. Whatever that may be, whatever program we're on, like, I'm enjoying it." Matt says, "Yeah, and we're working on it." And he does say that, and he has said that, and he truly will. "We'd have to make sure, whatever the situation is, we'd like to run two full-time cup cars next year, and we're working out the details as far as drivers and sponsors and just how all that looks." Chris Rice then responds with, "You just opened up a can of worms, by the way." So who knows what exactly that means, but the fact of the matter is Colleague Racing is in victory lane. AJ Allmendinger with his second career cup win, the first coming a few years ago with JTG Doherty and Watkins Glen. So he wins again at a road course, so congrats to him. When we come back, we're going to talk to somebody that survived all that calamity, had a seventh place finish, Eric Jones, the driver of the number 43. He will join us on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, and we say hello to the driver of the famed number 43, for Richard Petty Motorsports. Eric Jones is on the line with us. And Eric, first of all, I got to say congratulations, because I guess you're one of the survivors of what happened at Indy on Sunday, a wild one at the road course at Indianapolis.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were fortunate to make it through and salvage a seventh place out of that, which was good for us. We really didn't, you know, have the best car there. But, you know, as people started crashing and I knew it, it kind of had that feel like it wasn't going to stop there for a minute. So I was just trying to conserve and save my stuff and make my car last to the end. And, you know, fortunately we did and came home with a good day out of it. But, yeah, definitely a wild race. I don't think we've seen one like that in a minute. So,
yeah, I've said it plenty of times on the show that I am all about changing up the schedule. I'm all about trying new things. It was a little difficult to not go to the Oval in Indianapolis just because of the history there, but I wasn't against, you know, running the road course by any means, but you never want to see the racetrack, especially like in the way that it did, dictate the outcome of the race. And unfortunately that's what we saw. So my hope is NASCAR and officials at IMS can look at that if they decide to go that route again next year, because I just wanted to see good racing. And I know that's what the drivers want too.
Yeah, I think every driver in the field would agree with everything you just said. I mean, you know, I don't think any of us were against running at the road course in Indy. I think most of us, you know, missed the Oval for sure. I think that, you know, anyone would be lying saying that they'd rather run the road course over the Oval. So, you know, it was interesting to see how it went. Obviously, you know, the race got a little chaotic there, and some of that was fault of the track with the curbing coming up and causing some wrecks. So, you know, hopefully they can look at it. And like you said, if we do plan to go back there, make some changes and get things a little bit better for next time. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously it was a trial run and it was, depending on what you think's entertaining in a race, there was, some entertainment there in some ways. So we'll see what happens. But, I think we'll probably be having another shot at that track.
Do you think the new car would make it feasible that if you guys did a doubleheader weekend and you did one day on the road course and one on the oval, would that be easier to do with the new car? Or is it still you would have to bring two separate race cars to be able to pull that off?
It's tough to say. I don't know. It would definitely be tough to do a road course and an oval. Obviously it'd be impossible with our current car. They're so much different. The new car, if it works as intended, I would say it's feasible. It would be challenging for sure. But I think we could make it happen. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's a great idea. And I think a lot of us would love to do something like that if we could. So, we'll just have to wait and see, though. I don't think you totally know yet how that new car is going to play out, as far as, having different cars for road courses and ovals and stuff like that. So we'll just have to see how that goes next year.
So a seventh place finish for you at IMS on Sunday. It's your best finish with Richard Petty Motorsports in your first year there. What has the transition been like to Richard Petty Motorsports, that famed 43, everything that comes with it? And how do you think that you're gelling with your team?
It's been good. It's been definitely a transition and going there, but I would say, we've just had our ups and downs like any team. And, we've had better runs the last few weeks, which has been encouraging. Been going obviously the direction we want to go, and hopefully, here after Indianapolis, just string together some more good runs. Michigan this week's been a good track for RPM and myself in the past, and then there's some more races coming up that are good for both of us as well. So we'll just have to see how it goes. I've been enjoying it though, my time there, and I think with no practice, it really makes it tough to switch teams. There's no time to really dial it in for what I'm looking for in a race car. Obviously during the weekend, you're just kind of unloading, hoping that you're hitting it close and things are where they need to be. So we're working hard to make it better every race, but it's only so much you can do without practice time.
What's it like driving for the King and having him around?
I enjoy it. He's up at the shop pretty much every week, and I see him up there about every Tuesday is when I go up to the shop and do some things. So it's fun. It's just fun to chat with him about racing and what he's got going on and hear some of his stories, and then just listen to his advice as well. The thing with Richard is that obviously the cars have changed a lot since he was racing, but racing and the strategy and the mentality that it takes really isn't all that different. So it's kind of cool to hear his side of it and how he approached the races that he would run and how he went about his race days and stuff like that. So it's been fun to learn from him on that stuff.
And obviously, I know a lot's been out there about what the future looks like. It feels like things are going to come together. You're going to be able to go back there next year. And I know that you're over this, because it feels like the last few years we're always talking about what Erik Jones is going to drive in the Cup Series the next year. How anxious are you to get that all figured out so you can just focus on what's going on the track?
Yeah, for sure I'm ready to get things done for next year, and they're definitely – things are really close right now. So I'd imagine we'll have something to, hopefully announce here coming up pretty quick and feel good about continuing what we've got going on now. So it is always, I wouldn't say stressful is the right word this time of year. Just wanting to get things done and not have to worry about it during the week and just be able to focus on obviously finishing this year. And then, working towards next year and what that's going to bring with the new car and just getting everything ready. A lot comes together with a new car and trying to get fitted myself. And then obviously we got some big tests coming up here in the next few months to get those cars on track with other cars. So hopefully, get everything finished up here in the next few weeks and, be able to focus on that.
It's been so scattered and spread out because of everything that happened with COVID. Have you driven one of these yet?
I did. It's been a long time now. It's been, almost 2 years, really. I drove one at Homestead when it first, I think it was only the third test maybe that they did with the next gen car. So it was really early in the development and almost was more of a, systems check and a durability test more than it was, learning the race car and trying to improve it. So I'm sure it drives a lot different now than what it did last time I drove it. So eager to get back in one and just get a feel for it and feel it out on different places. Homestead is kind of a unique place and one of a kind. So it'd be interesting to get it on some other tracks and see what it feels like.
Can you learn much from running that thing in a simulator or iRacing or whatever? Or is it really just you got to get in it?
You got to get in it. You know, the thing with the simulator and stuff is it's great, but you know, you don't, it's hard to sim it because you don't really know what it's going to drive like yet. And you don't, we don't totally have good data for the tires and the aero maps and all that stuff. So it's hard to build a good simulation when you don't totally know everything about the car. So just have to get in it. And then, you know, once you get in it and start to feel it, you can start to make the simulation better.
So as the schedule moves on, a couple races before the playoffs get underway, we'll get to Daytona in a few minutes because you've obviously won there before, but Michigan International Speedway this weekend, which I know is a lot of fun for you because you are a native of Michigan, so get to go back home.
It is. You know, I'm actually already up in Michigan and hanging out here, so it's always cool when, you know, get to come up here and spend some time at home, spend time with the family. You know, going to a Tigers game later today. So just nice. Cool to get up here and do some hometown stuff. So I enjoy it. And then obviously the support, you know, at the racetrack is unmatched and just having an opportunity to race there is really cool. So always look forward to this week.
I've never been there, unfortunately. I want to go check it out, but it seems like it's a fun racetrack sitting right at 2 miles, but a very racy place.
It is. You know, with this package that we've got right now, it's really a good package for Michigan, as big as the track is and as much as you can move around and kind of stay packed up and stay in the draft. So it's fun, you know, obviously huge on my bucket list to win a race there. And would love to do it, you know, in 43 car, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Now I mentioned Daytona, you've won there. That was the site of your first win. You've won at Darlington. So two historic places, but as the playoffs, you know, near going to Daytona for the cutoff race, that really does leave an opportunity for anybody that's not in that top 16 that you could go up there and get one and then find yourself in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we got as good of a shot as anybody going to Daytona. And, you know, I obviously at this point we have to win a race to get in the playoffs and, you know, Daytona is going to be our best shot. So it should be fun. You know, Talladega, obviously a little bit different track, but, you know, same theory. We ran really well, led some laps there and got wrecked right at the end. But, you know, I feel like the super speedway stuff's been pretty good. And you know, I feel like myself as a super speedway racer, I like it and enjoy it and feel like I can have a shot at it. So, it'd be awesome to win there and get in the playoffs. That'd be a huge game changer for us in our season.
Real quick, before I let you go, Nashville, the city I'm in, is obviously very important to the sport, made its return to the Nashville Super Speedway. The end-of-season awards is returning here. We just hosted the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix for the IndyCars and on the streets, and SRX was at the fairgrounds. So this city has a lot to do with racing right now. How important do you think it is to have a footprint in a city like Nashville?
I think it's really important. You know, Nashville – it's crazy. I've been going to Nashville, you know, for the last 10 years, kind of on and off, whether it be for racing or anything else. And to see how it's changed and grown in the last 10 years has been amazing. I mean, it's, you know, I hear everyone call it Nash Vegas. I mean, it's true. You know, it definitely is Nash Vegas now. So, I think it's been cool. We had a great turnout, obviously at the Super Speedway. You know, I think the hope is to probably get to the fairgrounds one day. That's an iconic venue for us. And obviously, really close to downtown, you know, the Super Speedway is a little bit out of town, as you know. So
yep.
Hopefully get to the fairgrounds and be back in there. But I think, you know, I think that would be really good for us. So hopefully we can do that.
Well, absolutely. Hey, best of luck this weekend at Michigan and the next couple of weeks, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
He's Eric Jones, driver of the number 43 Richard Petty Motorsports Chevrolet in the NASCAR Cup Series. When we come back, it was a big week for Josh Berry, Hendersonville's very own. We'll explain and we'll talk to the driver of the number 8 Junior Motorsports Chevy in the Xfinity Series. It's all next on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, and I told you that I was excited to talk to our next guest. He's been on several times, Hendersonville's very own Josh Berry, the driver at Junior Motorsports, is here with us. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing really, really good. Definitely had a big week, and thanks for having me on.
I can remember talking to you after the win at Martinsville, and we brought up Nashville and returning to the Super Speedway, and you said that at the time that was going to be it. That was scheduled to be your last race of the year in the 8 car at JRM. You've had some other races along the way in the 31. You are going to fill in again for Michael Annett this weekend, but there was that question of, okay, what's next? You got the win at Martinsville. Dale Jr. has been speaking out of, yeah, we're trying to make something happen. Now that the announcement has come, you're going to be full-time Xfinity Series racing in the 8 car for Junior Motorsports next year. Is that just a huge weight lifted off your shoulders?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very very exciting, very rewarding. This has obviously been our ultimate goal. This is what we wanted to happen, especially after how well my time in the 8 car went this year. So it's really exciting, and I know how hard it is to get here, let alone work into a full-time opportunity like we've done. And I just been surrounded by a lot of great people, and we've had a great group at JRM that's helped make me look really good, and we've been able to find some partners that are gonna we've announced Tire Pros, and we're gonna mm-hmm. announce more here in the next few weeks. So it's really encouraging.
Yeah, and people may not realize that even though this was your not your first year in the Xfinity Series, but running the races that you did for JRM, you've been with Junior Motorsports for a long time, the short track program and the late model, and winning the national championship last year. And I remember talking to you about that. So how important was it to, as you looked at the future in a full-time deal, to be able to do it with Junior Motorsports and with Dale especially, that has been by your side through so much?
No, it was awesome. I mean, like I said, I've had a long relationship with them, and obviously been at Junior Motorsports for a long time, through the late model program, like you said. So, obviously I think this is what we all wanted. I was fortunate, I've been fortunate to, gather some additional opportunities outside of my stuff at JRM, with Rackley Ward, which they're based in the Nashville area, and Jordan's 31 car and a couple other deals. So, there was definitely, a possibility that, I might end up doing something different, but, we were able to put the pieces together to bring me back in the 8 next year. So, it's very exciting, and I'm, looking forward to, what the rest of this year holds and preparing for next year.
Yeah. You mentioned the Rackley deal and the truck. What's it been like running in the truck series some?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think that you being in your area, obviously you see Rackley Roofing's involvement in the Nashville area, and Willie Allen is a partner and co-owner on that deal. So it's been great. It's been a great experience racing for them. I really, really enjoyed it, and they're really trying to build a good program for the truck series, and we've had some good finishes. We've been knocking on the door of some top tens, and I'm really looking forward to running for them some more this fall and see what we can do, because I think if we can continue to improve and get better each week, I think we're going to move into maybe competing for some top fives, and you never know, maybe some wins. So that's been a great experience working with them, and the truck series is a lot of fun. It's a little wild at times, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, and that was kind of leading me into the next question. You know what next year is going to be like with the Xfinity Series with the 8. What does the rest of this year look like? More races with Rackley, and then obviously filling in for Annett in the 1 car. But do you have any other things that down the pike that you can talk about?
Well, really, that's mainly kind of where we're at now. I mean, I really want to finish out the truck series season with Rackley if we can make that all work. And, I still, obviously I'm filling in for Michael this weekend, and he's nursing he's dealing with a leg injury, and it's hard to say what's going to happen with that. And, obviously we all want him to get better. So, You know, he's working really hard to try to get back there. And, yeah, I still have the, you know, I'm still part of the late model program. We've won a couple weeks ago, we won two big late model stock races in a row, one at Langley Speedway and one at Hickory. And, so, you know, there's still lots of racing there that I can do with that. And it's just kind of taking it week to week, I guess. You know, it just seems like, man, it's been such a whirlwind of a season for me. It seems like whenever I think I kind of have a plan, you know, something else pops up or something happens. It's just been just crazy, really. So, like I said, we'll be racing a lot. I know that. Still lining up when and where.
Josh Berry is with us from Junior Motorsports as they announce he'll run full time next year in 2022. So, tell you a quick story. I had the opportunity when NASCAR made its return to the Nashville Super Speedway. I was asked to be the track announcer, one of them, alongside Joe Williams, who has worked at the fairgrounds for many, many years. And so we had the opportunity to do that, and I got tasked with driver intros. And so I'm thinking, okay, I got to make sure Josh's is good. It's the hometown Hendersonville guy. And when I did that for the Xfinity series, I was both blown away but also very excited for you, because that pop that you got from the crowd when you were introduced, and it wasn't, you know, and it was, you guys were up against your cars and it was a little bit different, but what did that mean to you when you heard your name announced and the fans there, they were all about Josh Berry and being the Tennessee boy?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was such a fun weekend. It was really special to go back there and race. And man, just the whole thing, like I said, it was just a great event. And there was a great crowd. The track raced exceptional, I thought. Like the prep work that they did into the track, I thought made it race really, really well. And it was really exciting. I mean, it was fun. I had my family there. I got to see some of my family, obviously. And I don't know, some people might remember it, but my 1-year-old was running through the grass during driver intros for the Xfinity series.
Oh, nice.
She was running in the grass next to the car, and it was so fun. And, you know, really, and to top all that off, I mean, we had a great car in the Xfinity race. In the truck race Friday night, we had a little bit of trouble on pit road and kind of lost some track position, but and the Xfinity car was so fast on Saturday. And, you know, really to go there and, you know, we didn't qualify real well, but came through the field really quick and, you know, found ourselves in the top three there and, you know, kind of got the bad end of a caution flag. And,
yep.
But still, it was a great experience. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be back there, but when we do, I can't wait to go back there and race again.
You know, I asked you, you know, what's next for you, and we know your plans next year, but when you look at Nashville, you know, it was such a success at the Super Speedway. We know they're going to be back. We just had the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on the streets of Nashville. I don't know how much you really got to watch that, but it was an awesome event being out there. And then the fairgrounds, as everything continues to move with the fairgrounds and potentially being fixed up and NASCAR racing, big time NASCAR racing going back there. I mean, I know that has to have a special place for you, just like it does for Dale, of having a historic track potentially returning to NASCAR.
Yeah, no, that would be, you know, it's obviously a huge goal of a lot of people. You know, I think it definitely seems to be that you know, everything racing related to the Nashville area seems to be a success lately. And like I said, they had a great weekend at the Super Speedway, and the, you know, the IndyCar race seemed like a pretty good success. I think the layout might need some tweaking for it, but, you know, obviously the fairgrounds is sitting there, and you know, everybody wants to see some racing back there. And, you know, they had a very successful SRX race, it looked like, there. So it's definitely a possibility for the future, I believe.
Yeah, I was at the SRX race, and that was awesome with having a sold-out crowd there. But, yeah, hopefully good things to come, for you as well. Appreciate you taking the time today, and best of luck this weekend at Michigan as you jump in the one car for Michael Annette. You know, go out and win the thing for him. That'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to try, and like I said, once again, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy talking to you guys, and like I said, take care.
Hendersonville's very own Josh Berry joining us here on the show. And again, congrats to him going full-time in the Xfinity Series starting in 2022 after a very successful season running part-time for Junior Motorsports. They've announced a ton of sponsors. And we actually recorded this interview before it was announced that he was going to drive the number 7 car in the Cup Series. So he will run his second Cup race this weekend at Michigan. After filling in with Spire Motorsports for Justin Haley at Dover earlier this year, he's going to be back in filling in for Corey LaJoy, with LaJoy being out with COVID protocols. So Josh Berry getting another chance to go Cup racing in his still very young career. So been quite the week for him. He's going to run the Xfinity race for Michael Annett and then the Cup race on Sunday. We're going to here's the pun. We're going to switch gears a little bit when we come back. Our buddy Tim Duggar, who's been on the show before, you probably know the name if you've been to the racetrack because he plays at a lot of the races. Up-and-coming country music star has a great EP that's out that we will tell you about, but also played here for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Old Tim Duggar going to join us when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical, ESPN, 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Light the wheels on my truck and the radio dial. Left-hand turns of a NASCAR mile. Girls on the dance floor spinning.
Back
around.
Here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. And we keep the fun going with my pal Tim Duggar. It's always a sign of a good time when Tim Duggar is on the show. See what I did there? Tim played out at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, and that was a lot of fun. But you're going to be in Michigan this weekend. So how's it going, Tim?
It's going good, man. Glad to have the wheels kind of rolling back on touring a little bit. Hoping that none of it gets put on hold. But yeah, it's good to be back and good to be playing some races too. The Grand Prix was awesome in Nashville, and Michigan's always a good time. So pretty lucky, and it's always a good time if I can, you know, play some music and watch some race and tie those two things together. It's never bad.
Yeah, and you and I are both, you know, grew up kind of the NASCAR side of things. So IndyCar has been a new venture for me the last few years. That was actually my first IndyCar race was the Grand Prix. It was awesome. I can't wait for it to come back next year, and now I want to try and go check out more races.
Oh, yeah, it was you know, I'd heard about I've known Matt Cruz for a long time. And I had heard about, you know, him thinking up this Grand Prix idea and how much work had been going on with all those guys and girls. So to see it, I mean, I was excited to see the race and all, but I was just probably more excited to see, you know, the people that put all the work in for years and years to try to make that happen, for it to finally happen for them. But I thought Nashville put on a great time as always, and I think as many people that was a fan of the IndyCar race being here, I think IndyCar was just as big as of a fan of Nashville and wanting to come back. So, you know, the more things that can happen in this city, the better, you know, to me, I think, especially when it comes to racing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I saw you at SRX at the fairgrounds, and we both have a special place for the fairgrounds and wanting to get things going there again. But, you know, if you think about it, there have been three major nationally televised races in this market this summer, and all three were a success, whether it's the Super Speedway, SRX out at the fairgrounds, and now the Grand Prix. To me, it's only going to get better, and that's going to help all three of these entities grow.
Oh, yeah, I've been, you know, I was telling my buddies and Charlotte, I'm like, heck, Nashville's been race city here this year. So, yeah, it's been awesome. And I think even the locals are getting more turned on to racing, which is great, because I really want to see that fairgrounds do good. And I thought the SRX race out there, to me, that was
awesome.
That was probably my favorite race of the three, just because of that track and you know, wanting so much of that history to come back and make more of it. But I thought all three were great, and they did a great job out the Super Speedway. I mean, that thing really impressed, and the race was great, and then the Grand Prix. So yeah, it's it's been an awesome year for racing in Nashville, for sure.
Signs of a good time. That is the EP by Tim Duggar, who is our guest right now on Chasing Checkers. So Michigan this weekend, you're going to be playing out there. What can people expect if they're going to be at the track and coming out to the show?
You know, it's just good to be back on stage. Actually, the Grand Prix was the first band show that I had done since December.
Oh, wow.
All new band, all new show. Actually, the first show for me and my new band. I'd had the same guys for probably, 8 or 9 years, it seemed, some of the guys. But, post-pandemic, a lot of that has changed. So it's just going to be really good to get back kind of, on a roll with a new group and new songs. And, we played a bunch of new stuff that is unreleased, too. Just excited to get back out there. I hate that I know NASCAR's got to do what they got to do, but kind of hate that we're not going to, probably won't get to see a lot of my buddies up there with the new mandates and all, but the fans, the fans up there in Michigan, they party hard and they're really passionate about racing. And now with just having one race, I'm sure they're going to really, really do it up. So I'm excited to be up there.
Yeah. And, we all know you're a NASCAR fan and grew up a NASCAR fan. But how did you kind of get into mixing both loves of music and racing? And, you mentioned a lot of your buddies, some of the drivers and stuff that you've gotten to know. How did that all come about?
Well, I grew up about 45 minutes to an hour from Talladega, and I used to go over there right out of high school and set up in the free camping, and I would bring like a little speaker, and I would play and give away CDs and stuff. And I had gave a CD to a friend of Richard Childress and gave him that CD. And probably a month later, I was in Welcome, North Carolina, having lunch with Richard Childress. he picked up the phone. He called Atlanta and Talladega and got me booked there. And that kind of started like a slow roll of playing a bunch of races. And up to then, I'd been playing, bars and clubs, and I was still doing that. But that just got kind of the NASCAR thing rolling. And I actually didn't even live in Nashville at the time, didn't have a record deal or anything. And I was like, I'm going to focus on this. This is an awesome way to, not only do I love the sport, but it's a great way to tie in and have my own kind of thing that I'm doing and get in front of a lot of fans, a lot of people, a lot of country music fans. So I focused on that for 3-4 years, and that ended up getting me a record deal with Curb Records. Mike Curb was at a race. I was playing. It was actually Daytona, and I gave him a CD. And, that's how it all happened. So I'm very grateful for that connection and to have I feel like I have a whole major sport behind me. I get to do a lot with NASCAR from the corporate to down to the teams, and got a lot of buddies throughout. It's very crazy how it worked out, that I was able to tie that sport that I've been watching since I was a kid, actually really ended up helping me further my music career, which I've been doing since I was a kid. So it's a crazy tie-in.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You're going to play not only this weekend at Michigan, but you'll be in Daytona, Bristol, Charlotte, and of course Talladega, playing before and around those races. How much music did you get to write and even record during the pandemic? Because I feel like coming on the other side of this, we're getting a lot of new music from people.
Man, I it was the first time ever in my life, because it's music is a kind of 24/7 job when you're struggling and trying to make something happen. It was the first time I didn't have to focus on playing shows. I didn't have to focus on hardly any meetings, any of that kind of stuff. I was doing Zooms with radio here and there, but all I did was focus on writing and recording. So we really have a I actually turned it in like a week ago, the new music, and I'm really excited about it. It was the first time I was able to really focus on writing, and 100%, whereas sometimes it's like, well, I'm writing a little bit here and there and trying to kind of plug it in writing when I had little openings and breaks, but that's pretty much was my focus last year. I just turned it on to writing and you know, a lot of Zoom writes. I think every song that I have on this next batch of music, except maybe one, was written over Zoom. So they're very pandemic writes. You know, it was very in the heart of all that when we were, you know, going through all the, you know, the quarantining and all this stuff. That's when I was doing all my writing. So it's really good. I feel like my Signs of a Good Time EP was like the first kind of, I thought of it as the handshake. I wanted people to kind of be introduced to me that way. And this next batch of music is kind of turning the page and getting to know me a little bit more. So really excited about it. I'm not sure when it's going to be released, but I would say within the next couple months. I just turned it in. So it's it was a baby, it still have a diaper on it. It's that new.
Oh, I can't wait for it because Signs of a Good Time is awesome. A lot of fun. You got, of course, you got the NASCAR references in there. I still miss Earnhardt too, so I think we all do. But really cool to be able to talk to you about it. You've been on the show before, but I know it's been a while, and it was good to watch you play at the Grand Prix. I found me a good spot at the front of the stage, so I was rocking out.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening, and I saw you out there, and it was good. I was a little rusty, but it was such a good feeling to get to knock that rust off there, knowing that, you know, an event like that was about to take place in Nashville. And I thought all the racing throughout the whole weekend was great. You know, the IndyCar stole the show, but I really liked those trucks.
Me too, man. They were awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Doing the jumps that they do. My last question is, do you have an iRacing rig on the bus yet?
I do not. You know, I've been, you know, Drew Parker, who's been, you know, he's big racing fan, and he's been out on the road a bunch, and he's been missing iRacing a bunch, and I've actually been so busy. I've not been able to do it like I mean, I was wide open on it last year. But yeah, it's, they're going to have to come up with something that can push a little bit. You know, a lot of the spotters that I know, a couple of them, they have, little rigs that they take to their hotels and stuff so they can keep racing. But I feel like if I came to my wife and was like, hey, I want to buy another little computer and another little wheel and all that, she'd probably tell me to move out. Since I've already, she let me bring this rig in here that I've not been using a lot here lately, so I'm not going to press my luck. But iRacing sure is a awesome thing to do. I'm not that good at it, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tim, best of luck this weekend in Michigan and then Daytona as well, and we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I'll see you later.
He is always a hoot. Tim Duggar, again, you can go to timduggar.com, check out where he's going to be playing. He's going to be at Michigan this weekend, Daytona next weekend, and a lot of other races on down the pike, and doing other things as well, not just playing at the racetrack. And so hopefully we'll have some new music out as well, as he was just talking about. That is going to do it for today's edition of Chasing Checkers. It has been stacked and packed. Eric Jones, Josh Berry, Tim Duggar. If you miss anything, you can, of course, check it out at ChasingCheckersRadio.com, TheGameNashville.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, subscribe, and review to that. We always appreciate it. And we're back here every Saturday at 9. If you're looking for Sunday money, we're going to do that live on the social media accounts from a very special location on Sunday just before they race from Michigan. So be checking that out. Follow all the socials at Chasing_Checkers on Twitter, Chasing Checkers Radio on Instagram and Facebook. That's going to do it. We're back at it next Saturday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app.